Amen. Hey, how many of you think that you will take part in that Operation Christmas Child this year and pack a shoebox? Wow, that's awesome. That's great. We are a collection point for Licking County, and I love each year seeing the boxes pile up out in the lobby during that week and then up here at the front, and then as we pray for them before they go. Hey, I had no idea they were getting my grandmother to come and do the announcements the week that I was preaching. That was so nice of Joseph Leha to do that, to arrange that. My grandmother in Georgia sounds very much like that. Words take on more syllables as we travel farther south. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty at home right now. I'm getting ready to preach. Y'all okay if I preach today? All right. If I was in my parents' church, I might talk a little bit more like that. But nah, you kind of heard my heart language come out there a little bit. So, hey, turn to Jeremiah if you would, and we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're going to be talking about building something, building something. We ended the David series. We had 10 weeks looking at David's life. How many of you would say, yes, I enjoyed looking at David's life. I enjoyed that series in some way. Great, great. Hope the Lord blessed you. Hope you learned some things. Hope he spoke into your life. We really believe that that was a great sermon series for us. I so appreciated Pastor Tom and the messages he brought. Many times I sat back there in the back and went, oh, I kind of had some of those light bulb moments. You know what I'm talking about. So enjoyed that series. He's getting ready next week to start a series called Living 4G. And that's going to be exciting as well as we go into just prior to the Advent season. And then, of course, we go into Advent. But we wanted to be intentional with this weekend. We wanted to be intentional with this weekend and to use this time to refer back to our mission and our vision as a church. Basically, it's answering the question, why? Why are we here? Why do we even gather? Why do we even do this thing that we do every weekend? A lot of energy, a lot of resources, a lot of effort goes into each weekend service and the ministries that go on during the week outside of, you know, kind of flowing out of what we're doing here. And the question is why? Now, some people would go, oh, you mean I drew that assignment? Oh, I had to talk about that. It's just mission, vision, okay, blah, 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 tagline kind of stuff. But I loved it. I relished it. I thought, man, this is exactly in my heart zone. This is where I want to be. I love talking to people about things like why. Why in the world are we doing the things we're doing? I think it's important. So bear with me for a few minutes this morning as we look at why. Why are we building something? Now, on our website and on some of our literature that we pass out, it says we are building generations for Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. That's our goal. That's what we're aiming for. But why? Why are we trying to do that? And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And I had no idea that God was going to lead me to the verse in Jeremiah 1:10. I had no idea until about Tuesday. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, I tried other verses. I tried to look at what's on our website. I tried to look at what the verses that go with that mission and that vision statement, things like that. And God kept directing me back to Jeremiah. And I love Jeremiah. I love the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. How many of you out there just say, I love that book? Yeah, that Jeremiah book. He has some great things to say. God really speaks to me through these two prophets. Let's look at verse 4 in the book of Jeremiah. Now, before I start, I do always like to just pray because basically, I don't trust myself enough. I know my own heart, and I know I'm redeemed. I know Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. But I just want to take a minute and empty myself once again, just kind of the last thing I do before I open up this word and attempt to teach you from God's word. So let me just pray real quick. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the weekend, just the services last night, and then the things that are happening this weekend. I think to Thursday night, the fall festival here, and the things that are going on in this church and in this building and outside of this church and outside of this building, the small groups and the people who are getting together with other people, having coffee and talking. I just thank you that you are at work. And now, Lord, we gather together. We gathered to worship you. We sang to you. We joined in with the angels that are around your throne, always giving you praise. And we joined in with that and we gave you praise. And now we come to the time when we want to break open your word and we ask you to teach us. And Lord, I tremble a little bit at this assignment. Not because I'm afraid of you, but I just tremble at the weight of what we're about to go into. Would you just be gracious, God? Would you just speak through your spirit? Speak through from your word through your spirit to your people. That's what we want to have happen this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name and for Christ's glory. Amen. All right, thank you for letting me do that. If you've been here before when I've shared, you probably know I kind of like to start out that way. Let's look at verse 4 in Jeremiah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm really sorry. I did this last night. I couldn't go any farther. The word of the Lord came to me. That's what Jeremiah writes. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. Now let me just remind you or just point out to you, Jeremiah was not sitting cross-legged in a room full of incense making some strange humming noises trying to receive revelation. He wasn't out there working and striving and trying to gain God's favor. He wasn't out there trying to do something to earn a word from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him. Some of you come this morning and you need a word from the Lord. You need to just open up your hands and you need to just sit here and you just need to be receptive. I don't know what's going on this week. I don't know what's going on in relationships or in homes or in your mind or in finances or in anything circumstantial in your life. I don't know. But some of you come and you need the word of the Lord to come to you. So just prepare yourself right now. Just say a little quick prayer in your seat right there. You're not even out loud. Just in your mind, you just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive what you have for me. Jeremiah was, I believe, was in a posture ready to receive the word of the Lord when it came to him. The word of the Lord is active, and God is this God that reaches out. He's coming. He's bringing a word. I fully believe that. And God says, before, this is the word that the Lord brought him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Some of your Bibles will say, I set you apart. Then he says, I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. That word prophet means authorized messenger. He's telling Jeremiah, before you were even conceived, before there was even a child in the mother's womb, I had already set you apart. I already knew you. I already had a point for you. So this is not, I'm not even into the sermon yet. This is just a freebie. Hey, some of you have forgotten that your life has a point. It is not coincidence that you're here. It's not just coincidence that you were born and that you exist. It's not just simple biology, folks. You have a point. You have a purpose. I hope you know it. I hope you know. Now, if you don't know your purpose, we encourage you. Pray. Talk to someone. Get in God's word. Come see a pastor. Talk to a loved one you trust and say, what do you think my purpose is? What do you think the point is God had for creating me? You see, he didn't just create just because he was bored. He created with a point. And he tells Jeremiah right here, I have appointed you. I have appointed you. And look at Jeremiah's response in verse 6. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak. I'm a youth. Now, sorry, again, I'll pause. Do you think Jeremiah thought God didn't know how old he was? Hey, God, you're about 5 years too early. Really? I mean, come on. God knows his age. He formed him. Yeah, okay, just comical to me. Okay, I love how honest the Bible is in recording how we respond to God. But the Lord said, so Jeremiah has a negative response. Whoa, 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 Lord. I mean, that whole prophet authorized messenger to the nations thing, I'm a little young for that. I think there's a minimum age limit of 25 on that. I can't do that yet. And God says, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. Them. Who's the them? That's the nations. He says, I've sent you to the nations. I've made you a messenger to the nations. Don't be afraid of them. Guys, we live in a time that is amazing because the nations are coming to our country. The nations are coming here. and we do not need to fear them. We are authorized messengers to share good news with them. Do you get that? We live in a day and time when I don't have to go to Lebanon. I don't have to go to Zimbabwe necessarily. Now, we are interested in going. We want to be goers as well. But we need to be authorized messengers right here and not fear whoever God tells us to talk to. Maybe you've got that old uncle who's just a little bit grouchy. I have one of those. And I don't really relish the time to sit down on his couch and try to talk to him about the Lord. But I need to. I'm an authorized messenger. I don't need to fear him or fear anyone. And he says, why would you not fear them? In verse 8, God says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord did something. So Jeremiah responds negatively to God's point for his life. The God responds positively back to him, saying, hey, don't say you're a youth. You're going to go where I send you. You're going to say what I tell you to say. But then he goes a step farther. Our God is so intimate. Our God is so relational. And he still wants to be that way with you and with me. Look what he does in the next verses. He says, then the Lord stretched out his hand. Our God didn't just give an encouraging word to Jeremiah. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. Some of you need a touch from God today. You need a touch from Christ. You need him to pierce your heart a little bit. He says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. That's where we're getting to, Jeremiah 1:10. But he touched him. He put his words in his mouth. And he says, today's the day that I'm fulfilling my calling on your life. See, I appointed you when you were in the womb, before you were in the womb. I formed you, I appointed you, I set you apart. And now today, it's actually going to be fulfilled. That's what he's saying here. God is telling Jeremiah, I am building something, and I want to include you in it. You're included. God is so good. Let me just say this. We prayed for the Randalls earlier as missionaries of the week and a mission moment for this weekend. And we can all agree, I think, that God doesn't need the Randalls to communicate his message of love and grace to the people of Taiwan. He can do it any way he wants to. He can skywrite. He can a burning bush. He's used that before, right? Okay. He can communicate to them any other way, but he wants to include his people in his plan. He's building something and he wants to include us. He's telling Jeremiah, I'm building something and I want to include you. Now, we've got the catchy phrase, and I do think it's fairly memorable, and, you know, it's nice. I like it, and I was a part of kind of talking about it with some people, building generations for Christ. I like that. I'm all about generations, trying to build up the next generation. I love seeing people have those light bulb moments. I feel like that's what I love to build, people. God has told me, do this. I'm doing this. I want to include you in it. But before we build things, in Jeremiah 10, we see that there's four things that God says have to happen before building and planting takes place. And some of you, if you're farmers or if you do a garden or if you're even in construction, you get this. Maybe you haven't connected it spiritually yet, and that's okay. Maybe some of you have. You've seen the spiritual principle. These principles, this is one of the ways I know God's message is true. This is one of the ways that I have become convinced that what God's word says and what I sense and what I see in the message of Christ, it is true. Because we have these spiritual principles that then play out in the natural world, in his creation. They go together. I love it. And this is one of those. So there's uprooting. He says in verse 10, some of your versions may say, pluck up. If you've got the New American Standard, that's what mine says, pluck up. I like uproot. It says, you will pluck up, break down, tearing down. You will destroy and overthrow. Some of your versions might say demolish. I like that too, demolish. So if we're a church that's interested in building something, it would only make sense in my mind as I look at this that there's also we also have to be a church that's interested in tearing something down. God tears down to remove something that's hurting us. I know in my own life, there have been times where I've gotten into habits or I've allowed things into my lives or unhealthy relationships or unhealthy practices. And God said, that's hurting you. I'm going to tear it down. But there's also other times where he says, this isn't hurting you, but I'm going to tear down something in your life, Coley, because I need to clear some space for something better. I like that. I heard a ooh down here. I love that. Oh, that's good. God may, you may not be involved in anything right now that's hurting you. Maybe you've walked with the Lord so faithfully through the years that you're doing okay. You don't have those habits. You don't have those hurts, those hang-ups, to quote the CR mantra. You don't have those. You've done well with the Lord, walking with him. You've defeated some of those things. But he might be saying, I want to tear down something in your life because I need to make space for something better. Now, let me give you an example of this in our community.
Hey guys, so I'm here at the what is known as the Old Meyer area, just off of 21st Street in North Newark. And as you can see behind me, there's been a lot of demolition. There's no longer a building there. And the rumor is, and I believe it's been reported in the newspapers and things, that Kroger has bought this property and they're coming in and they're going to add in a new Kroger. And so they tore down the old building. Now, why would Kroger want to tear down the old building? Why wouldn't they just use what was already here that Meyer had used for years and years and years? It's because they have something better, newer, fresh planned. It will be better in the end. The new building will be better than the old building that Meyer had here for so long. Now, I know many of you loved that Meyer building, and that's okay. They say the Kroger's going to be better, so we'll see.
I thought that might get a chuckle. I don't know if Jeff Smith is here, but he said there was a petition going around the hospital at one time. No, I don't know. Okay. You know, my wife, we have fond memories of walking into that mire. We live fairly close to that, and our kids would ride. Penny? Sandy? What was it? Is it Sandy or Penny? Sandy, the horse, right? The little horse. For a penny, that's right. That's the part I liked. My wife liked putting them on Sandy. I liked the fact that I could just use a penny. So we have fond memories of that. But it was time for that building to be torn down. And they needed to make space for something that will be, we hope, better. There was a Kroger executive in the crowd last night. I had no idea he was going to be here. And when I was doing this, he was very pleased with that little clip. So, hey, one of the ways our church is striving to build generations for Jesus is helping you and encouraging you and in trying our own selves to follow the pattern of Jesus. I mean, that's what we're to do, right? He's our Lord. He's our Messiah. He's our example. We want to follow his pattern. And this sounds very pithy almost. It's just so light. Like this should be on a t-shirt or on a bracelet, you know? Oh, love like Jesus. It just sounds churchy. I'm sorry. I mean, we are a church, so it's okay if we sound churchy sometimes. All right, but love like Jesus. But let's break it down a little bit, and let's really look at this. Jesus was asked by someone, I forget who now. Jesus was asked by someone, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And he responded this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And I think... Whoa, something just happened. All right, I think that if we are striving to love like Jesus, we have to start there. We set as our personal goal that we're going to love the Lord God. We're going to love the Father with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. That's the way we're striving to love him. Now, I don't get it all the time. I don't get to that point all the time. I'll be honest with you. But that's okay. I'm striving for you. I'm striving for that. I want to get there. And then he says, I think as we do that, then he says, hey, but also don't forget, it's not just religion. It's not just trying to love God and do things that please God for religious sake. There's also this other element that we are to love our neighbors. We are to love people the way Christ loved people. This comes from Matthew 22, 36 through 40. So the first thing I think we should ask ourselves about tearing down, this may be a point in the message where we say, okay, what needs torn down then, Coley? What is it you're telling us to tear down? I think we could say this. You could even take a minute right now and say, Christ, tear down my love for this world. I love things of this world too much. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good things in this world that He's provided for us. His creation is beautiful. We've seen that in the leaves. Family relationships are wonderful, designed by Him. But you and I both know we are tempted at times to hold on too tightly to the things of this world. So we ask Him to tear that down. We ask Him to destroy the power of sin that still binds us. There is still sin in my heart. I wish there wasn't. My family wishes there wasn't, but there is sometimes. And I'm still doing battle with my Lord. I'm running back to Him. Lord, help me overcome that fearful heart. Help me overcome this idea in my mind. Help me overcome sin in my life. We need those things destroyed. We need those things torn down. That would be one way to respond to this idea of tearing and building up. And you know, also, if we're going to love like Jesus, we've got to love them all. We've got to love them all. Last weekend in the 11 o'clock service, and I thought this was so powerful, I have the advantage, I have the blessing, honestly, of being in all three services, Saturday night, Sunday, and the two Sunday mornings. I'm doing a shoe class, so I'm not in the Sunday night service. I will be tonight, but anyway. So in the 11 o'clock service, I saw that Pastor Tom did something different than any other service. He made this statement about his father. And you probably remember he told the story. And he's talking about his dad. And then he got to a point and he stood right here. And he said, my dad, Jeff Pound, stood right here in this spot. And he said this. And then Tom said what's on the screen now. I even went back and watched it in the video this past week. And there's something that happened in that 25 seconds in our pastor's heart. There's something that happened, and he was speaking from a different place for just a second. His messages are good. His messages are Holy Spirit-filled, God-honoring, God-centered. The whole messages are good. I'm not saying anything different about that. But he stood right here, and when he said this, it came from a deeper place. And he said, we need to love the people. He was quoting his father. Love the people that no one notices. Love the people that no one sees. And I took that and I said, man, people will get behind that. That's what we want to be about. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. That's loving like Jesus. But it doesn't always play out that way. My family went to India because God loved the people there. I didn't go to India because I loved them. Now you may say, Coley, that's terrible to say. You're a pastor. You're not supposed to say that. I'm just being honest. It took about a year for me to get really to a place where I loved them. Now, I cared about their salvation. I cared about some personally. But to have a heart that loved the South Asian people the way God did, that was tough. They're different than me. They talk very differently there. They have very different values. Come on, you knew it was coming, right? You knew it? Yeah. Okay. But an interesting thing happened. See, some of you have neighbors that you can't stand. They annoy you. I'm not supposed to say that in church, but I'm just saying it. All right, come on. We all know it. Some of you have neighbors that you can't stand. You just don't like them. You see them pull out of the driveway in their car, and you're like, oh, brother, there they go again. But God loves them. And if you will begin to try to do things that love like Jesus, He's going to do what He did to us in India, and He taught us to love them. He may teach you to love that neighbor. That's loving like Jesus. Letty, can you hand me that little baseball bat there? As a boy, thank you, honey. My brother and I would play wiffle ball in our backyard. And I loved wiffle ball. It was so fun. I was a fan of the Atlanta Braves. Now, this was in the 80s, so the Braves were terrible. We were terrible. Yeah. We had a couple great players. Dale Murphy was one of them. And Dale Murphy, he was awesome. He was an all-star. He played center field. He was number 3. And I would get in my backyard, and man, I was Dale Murphy. My brother would pitch. He's 4 years younger, so he would think he's throwing fastball, and I could just like, bam, crank it. You know, it was so fun. But I would get up there, and I would take the bat, and I would do the little things that Dale Murphy did. He had this little waggle. And then he, right before the pitcher would pitch it, he would kind of go down, and he would do this. And he'd come right back up, and then, nice. And I would do that in my backyard. And in my mind, I look like Dale Murphy. Oh, my goodness, I'm Dale Murphy. Number 3, all-star, home run. Yeah, then I would rub my brother's, you know, then I would tease my brother about beating him or whatever. Okay. You go to ballparks now, either at North Newark or some others. You see kids, they wear the gloves that their favorite pro wears. They put the helmets on the same way. They do the eye black. My mom never let me do that, so we would sneak mascara sometimes and try it. But anyway, come on. You know some of you have done that, right? Okay, all right. But here's the thing. I wanted to look like Dale Murphy, but I didn't live like Dale Murphy. I didn't get up and go to the gym and train. I didn't go to the batting cages. My lifestyle was not the lifestyle of Dale Murphy. And let me just be honest with you in a very pastoral way and in a very loving way. Some of you come week in and week out and you want to look like Jesus, but you're not living like Jesus. You're not getting up early to spend time with the Father. You're not digging into the Word the way He wants you to so that you can produce characteristics more like Him. You're not training the way Jesus trained. It says He got up early and would go out on His own. We need to get better. I just lovingly call you to that. We need to get better. And it's not about doing the disciplines to check them off. It's about doing those disciplines, spending time with the Father, so that then He does start to make us look like Jesus. We want to live like Jesus so that we will look like Jesus to the world. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he remains in Him should walk just as He walked. I had a funny thing I could do at our family gatherings. My grandmother loved it when I would do this. You may remember the show The Jeffersons. Probably not a politically correct show now, but George Jefferson had this walk. You remember that walk? My one grandmother, I was just a boy, and she would say, "Coley, do that George Jefferson walk. Come on, do that George Jefferson walk." And, you know, George Jefferson had this walk, kind of like, you know, something like that, you know? I don't know. I haven't seen it in years. She loved it. She would laugh, and she'd get her friends, or she'd get my aunt, and say, "Oh, look at him. He's so cute. Walk like George Jefferson." Are we walking like Jesus? You walk into your office on Monday morning like Jesus, having already spent time with the Father, having already your mind transformed and renewed so that you can see things with an eternal perspective the way Christ did. That's what we mean when we say live like Jesus. This may take some overthrowing or some tearing down or some building before we start building up. And some things that may need to be torn down or overthrown is that temptation we have to live for ourselves. I don't like my neighbor because he throws his grass clippings over the fence in my yard. I get annoyed with them because they're too loud at certain times of night. Overthrow my temptation to just want life to go my way and be okay for me. We all have that temptation, pastors included. And then, of course, we need torn down or demolished or destroyed those temporary pleasures of life that just steal our eternal focus and steal our eternal joy. They steal that presence of Christ in our lives, that ongoing relationship, talking to the Father, listening to our Lord. That may be where you're at. That may be what you need to ask Him to tear down or overthrow or demolish this morning. In my journal in 2008, I love looking back at old journals because it's almost like looking back at a roadmap or a photo album of memories, and we go, "Oh yeah, we stopped there. Oh yeah, this happened." And I looked in a journal this past week, and in 2008, we were living in New Delhi. 2008, I wrote this: "Is what you're living for worth dying for?" And this was before the country song, or this was before anything else, you know. This was just something I was asking me and the Lord, one-on-one, right here. in a morning time. I wrote this in my journal. Are you living for the day? Are you living for the summer? Are you living for a significant other? Are you living for a career path, a financial stability, or self-fulfillment? And this was not a message. This was not a sermon. This was not for a PowerPoint presentation. This was me and the Lord early one morning. And I'm asking myself this. Well, then as I look back at it this week, I thought, man, that's good. Is what you're living for worth dying for? That's good. I need to. And then I thought, wait a minute. I'm not good enough to come up with that on my own. I better Google that and see who said it, because I probably read it somewhere and then didn't give credit in my journal. So I did that. I Googled it. Leonard Ravenhill asked this question. This quote came up. Thank you, Google. Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? So in this point of living like Jesus, I'll ask you, think about your week. The things you lived for. And I don't mean, hey, well, Coley, I had to eat to live. I had to do this to live. I had to turn up the heat to stay warm. You know, we had to have clothing. I don't mean that. What I mean is that place in your heart where you're living for something. You are so looking forward to Friday night when the Amazing Race comes on. Any Amazing Race fans out there? You're so looking forward to January 2016 because Downton Abbey's coming. The last season of Downton Abbey. Tanya and I are catching up on Downton right now, so we're going through the seasons. Sorry, guys, if that lets you down. I still listen to sports radio. Come on. Okay. But you know what I mean. Living for? What are you living for? Are you really living for something? And then hold that up to the cross. Whoa. Is that thing that I so live for worth Jesus dying for? Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe that's something you need him to overthrow or tear down this morning. Another area that we're trying to help people, to build people up as a church, is this leading like Jesus. Lead like Jesus. And we see that Jesus led as a servant. His life had a point. He came. He left his glorious place in heaven. He left relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit right there in that Trinity in such a way that they were so connected. And he took on flesh, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. I won't read it now, but you know that passage probably. You can look it up. And he took on the form of a servant. And let me just tell you, if we follow Christ, he wants us to be servants too. Where are you serving? And I'm not just talking about the nursery. I'm not just talking about in the cafe. I'm not just saying in the host teams or here on the weekends to make us feel better or to make my weekends go a little smoother. What I'm really talking about is where in your community are you serving? Who will you help in a day when they need help? Who will you stop and open a door for? Who will you take a box for? Who will you say, oh, I'll pause what I'm about to go do and I'll help you with your thing? Let me ask you this. How do you respond when someone treats you like a servant? Ooh, there's a question. Somebody uses a tone of voice with you, a little bit rough or gruff, and you think, oh, don't treat me that way. You step back and your head cocks and you might wag your finger or something. No. Don't treat me that way. I have self-respect. You don't treat me that way. Well, wait a minute. That's a flag for us. Now, I'm not giving license for people to treat us poorly. I do think we need to have boundaries and we need to have self-respect and we need to be healthy in that way. Not, God doesn't call us to be doormats, but he does call us to be servants. Where are you serving? Who are you serving? And as we are out there serving, we will lead people like Jesus to the Father. We really will. In Mark 9:35, Jesus said, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and the servant of all. So if you say, well, Coley, I don't really know who to serve. Just start serving. Just serve them all. Just find somebody to serve. Just find somebody to serve. Now, maybe that takes a tearing down for you. And you need to ask this, God, I'm asking you this morning, uproot my pride. Uproot my ego, because it's there. And plant humility so that I'll be a servant. here at Spring Hills, we are building something, and I'm excited to share with you. And I feel like it's just even me personally, in my own heart, I love to build people. I mentioned that earlier. That's why I love being part of Granville Christian Academy for so many years. I love building up people to the point where you can say something and they get it and they start to grow and they start to become Christ-like. They start to turn over things in their life to Jesus. And then I can just go, oh man, they got it now. They're good. Okay, you guys take off. I'm going to go over here and start building somebody else up. I love that. It provides me so much fulfillment and joy and peace that I cannot even describe it. So I was excited to share this message with you today. I was excited because I feel like this is a chance for me to build you up in a way. That's not because I know it all or because I'm the expert or because I have it all figured out. It's just because I have God's word, I have God's spirit in me, and I have the gifts of God, I think, to pour into people and build them up. So we are building something. And I would just say, watch this next slide. What are we building?
We're building something.
We're building
something.
We're building something.
We're building something.
We're building something.
This is what we're about. This is what we're about. And just hang with me for just another second, because you're gonna hear from that deep place in me. Now, I love the many ministries we're doing here. I think we are effective. I think we're striving to be more effective. I love being on staff here. But what I want you to know is we are building something here, and it is you, so that others will be built up. And I'm going to tell you something from my heart and the heart of our pastors and our church staff. What we're not building is, I know we're in the middle of the Inside Out project, and some of you maybe got confused about that. You said, are we focused on carpet? Are we focused on chairs too much? No. Now, those things are important, and we want to be about that. But make no mistake, we're not here building that. We're not here building this. We're not here placed here by God to build something like chairs or carpet. We're here to build people. We're here to help build people up into Christ likeness, because there are people out there who don't know. There are neighbors who aren't being transformed into Christ likeness because they don't know they can trust Him. Maybe they heard the message, but they don't know that He's good. They don't know they can trust Him. They think it's just rules. And that's what we're building. We are building something. Unashamedly, we're building something. And I will say this: we are building you so that you will build others. And we are asking you, are you in? Are you in? Will you join us? Will you be in what we're building? I had a friend in high school. He could send me a message. He could, there wasn't texting in high school. He would call me and he would say, Coley, 6:00, my house, Friday night. Are you in? And because of our relationship and because I could trust him, sort of, because I loved him, I liked having fun with him, I'll say that, I was there. I didn't need details. I didn't need any more information. I could just be there. Some of you have those friends. You have people in your life that say, hey, Saturday morning, coffee at this place, are you in? Yes, I'm there. I have some friends like that in my life right now who are so godly and so God-centered and so Christ-honoring that they say to me, hey, let's get together for coffee Thursday night. You want to? And I'm like, I'm in, because I know you. I know your heart is for Christ. I want to be there. And we're asking you this weekend. We're reminding you of our vision. We're reminding you what we're trying to build here. And we're saying, are you in? Will you join us? Will you join us? We want to build people in Central Ohio, Licking County, and around the world into Christ-likeness. Let me pray. Lord, I am so thankful that you show up when we need you. I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us your word. I'm thankful that you care enough to tear down things in my life, to uproot things in my life, to then build other things and to plant new things. And I ask you, Lord, as this message just kind of hangs in the air over the people here in the room this morning, would you just let your truth settle? if there's anything I said that was from me or from a human perspective or tried to be just purely motivational speaking-ish, I pray that that would just fade away and let the weight of your truth, the weight of your word settle on my brothers and sisters. God, we know you're at work in this community. We know you're at work in our hearts. You're at work around us, and we want to be into what you're into. God, we love you. We're trusting you, even in those times when you want to tear something down or overthrow something in our lives. Lord Jesus, it's all for your glory. We want to be a glorious people to you. In Christ's name. Amen.
We're going to sing a song together. And as we go out, we usually sing this song as the very first song of a worship service, or maybe in what we lovingly call in the praise team the two slot. Actually a song that was written for Palm Sunday, and it's called Hosanna. So you might guess it is for Palm Sunday, but I want us to sing it, and I want us to think about the words to the verses as we think about what Pastor Coley has shared and as we think about being built up so that we can give hope and life and purpose to others as we represent Jesus and present Jesus to them. Okay, so let's stand and sing this. See if you agree with me.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. They long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. Oh, give us courage, Lord, in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Yeah, when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
Go out. Hey, remember the baseball analogy. Don't just go out there and try to look like Jesus. Go out there this week living the lifestyle of Jesus, and you will look like him to a lost and hurting world. One thing that we find ourselves at an interesting place in our culture right now, Tuesday is a voting day. And on Tuesday, a very big issue for the state of Ohio is issue 3. And I know there's some others, but I just want to talk about issue 3 right now. That's the legalization of marijuana. And we as a church feel that it is not biblical. It's not God-honoring to have that legalized in our state. And I know voting is a personal thing, and we don't want to try to, you know, step into that area with you too much, but we do want to take this opportunity just to share with you that we believe as a church and as a faith community, the correct way on that issue on Tuesday is no. We don't want to see our state accept the legalization of marijuana. We believe there are things culturally that will happen in our state that have been documented in other states and other parts of the world even. It will be extremely negative for our communities and for our families and for our state and obviously our nation as well. So please, please, please be bold. Talk to people about it. Be loving. And seek what God would have you do on Tuesday. Hey, if you're a first-time visitor here, please come back and hear Pastor Tom and his messages, because they're good, all right? Come back for that 4G series that's going to start next week. Also, if you would like to come to the back, we have a small appreciation gift for any first-time visitors. Also, if you're here and you just need prayer, maybe you want to go to the prayer room and have somebody tear down something in prayer in your life, just asking God to tear down, uproot, destroy, or overthrow things. Go see our team back in the back. Dan and some others are back there. They would love to pray with you. So let me just close real quick. Yep, I need that real quick. I have just a short benediction. I'm really sorry. I should have had this. Okay. No, I don't. Can you switch that over real quick? Thank you. Okay. I just want to read this over you instead of praying over you. I want to read God's word over you. And we are asking that you, this is each one of you, may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you, each one of you, may walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord this week, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Lord, do this in my brothers and sisters. Amen. Have a great week, guys. Thank you for being here.